Okay. The last year we gave a hakdama, an introduction to the commentary of Sforno on the Torah. We spoke a little bit about the Sforno's biography, and we saw portions of his hakdama, his own introduction to his commentary on the Chumash, where he outlines what his goal is in the commentary, how he hopes to achieve it, and we shared one particular thought from the hakdama. We spoke about how he relates to commentaries who came before him, not necessarily quoting them directly, but anthologizing in many cases their words, but then building on the ideas which they presented. What I wanted to take a look at tonight are some comments that the Sforno has with regard to the creation of human beings, also obviously described in Parashas Bereishis. And we'll see his very unique definition of some of the words in the Chumash that are very familiar to us, and how these definitions really connect to a whole outlook about man's purpose in this world. So in Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavav of Sefer Bereishis, we read, "Vayomer Elokim Nase Adam B'Tzalmenu Kidmusenu." Hashem says, let us make man, bitzalmenu, in our image, kidmusenu, like our form. I'm translating those terms very roughly. We'll see the Sforno will give us a more precise definition as he understands it of those terms. In those few words, vayomer Elokim nasa adam bitzalmenu kidmusenu, there are numerous questions which are raised already by Chazal and certainly by the Meforshim after that. So number one, what's the use of the plural? Vayomer Elokim na'ase Adam b'tzalmenu kidmusenu. Let us make man. What do you mean, let us make man? Who else is involved in this process of making man? It's ultimately up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who's the we? Who are these multiple forces, individuals, whatnot, who are involved in the creation of man? Furthermore, what's the definition of bitzalmenu kidmusenu? In our image, like our form. Obviously taken literally, that would lead one to think that human beings are made, in the image of God, you know, kaviyochol, they look like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have the form of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Clearly that would be a preposterous statement. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have a body, he doesn't have a form, he doesn't look like anything. To say that human beings look like the Ribbono Shel Olam, is a meaningless statement. Okay, but then what does it mean? What does Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu mean exactly? So the Sforno on that pasuk says as follows. Vayomer Elokim Nase, Nosan Oz Koach B'Palmalya Shelo. The Ribbono Shel Olam at that point gave powers to his entourage, Lahashpia Es Hatzelem B'Nose Hamuchon Lo, to influence the basic form of man in the manner in which it was prepared for him. What exactly is being described, by the Sforno? What's being answered in this statement? So we'll see in the Sforno. The Sforno understands that, so to speak, there are two levels of the creation of man. Man is first created like any other animal. He's no different in a certain regard from any other creature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates. However, then the Ribbono Shel Olam instills a special extra something in mankind, which is called the Tzelem and the Dmus, and we'll see what exactly that means in just a few moments. So let's elaborate a little bit, and then we'll come back to this first statement of the Sforno. So the pasuk says, "Nase Adam." Let's make Adam. Adam is min mimine nefesh chaya. Adam is one of the types of the nefesh chaya, of the living creatures, shiyotzarti shishmo Adam. One of the living creatures I've already made is referred to as Adam. Now what the Svarno is doing over here is he's giving the following very interesting pshat. You know, we learned the Chumash described all of the various things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on the sixth day of creation. And on the sixth day of creation, we read back in Pasuk Chav Dalet, Totse ha'aretz nefesh chaya. Let the land bring forth nefesh chaya, all kinds of living creatures. Says the Svarno, one of those types of living creatures was a human being. So in other words, as opposed to the conventional way of reading the Chumash, that is to say, that when Hashem says, Na'ase Adam b'tzalmenu kidmusenu, it means, let us create man. The Svarno is saying, no. Man already existed. When the Pasuk says, Totse ha'aretz nefesh chayo, let all of the creatures be created, let all of the living creatures come forth from the earth, that already included man. Man has already been created. As the Pasuk says the Svarno, we're going to read it later on in Perek Bez, Vayhi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. Man was created and he became a nefesh chaya. What's a nefesh chaya? Says the Svarno, in contradistinction to other mefarshim, nefesh chaya simply means he was a living creature. He was like a lion or a cheetah or a giraffe or anything else like that. Vayhi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. Man was created and he was a creature. So man is already there on the scene. He's already been placed on the stage of creation. So therefore, Vayomer Elkim Na'ase Adam B'Tzalmenu Kidmusenu means, let us invest man, who already exists, with something else. And that's the Svarno goes on to explain, Na'asehu, let us make this man who already exists, B'Tzalmenu, in our image, shehu etzem nitzchi v'sichli. We should invest man with something which is intellectual and which is eternal. We should give him a special kind of neshama that goes beyond the rest of the creatures in the world. Uvozeh posach hakel yisporach pesach b'toroso, Liknos yediyo ba'atzomim hanivdolim b'yediyas nafshenu. Through investing man with this tselem, with this neshama, with this ability to understand and an aspect of man which is eternal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the door, in the words of the Svarno, to allow human beings to understand and to comprehend, at least to some extent, things that are beyond the comprehension of an animal, things that are transcendent, were granted us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nase Adam b'tzalmenu b'tzalmenu, and kidmusenu, like our image, b'inyan hama'asios. This refers to actual actions. Shiyidme bom ktsas lipamal yoshomala. Man in his actions will be somewhat similar to the heavenly hosts. Bitsad mashahim poalim biyadiya uvahakara. To the extent to which that man's actions are done with knowledge and with understanding. Meaning, bitsalmenu, the tselem, refers to the fact that man has a neshama, he has something which is eternal, he has something which can understand celestial and spiritual things, something that no other human being that no other creature has. That's bitzalmenu. Kidmusenu means that man is like malachim and other aspects of the pamal yoshomala, other celestial beings, who are able to understand what they're doing and not simply engage in actions based on instinct. Animals act based on instinct. You know, they don't necessarily see all of the consequences of what they're doing. human beings are able to act based on a deeper understanding of what and why they're doing things. That's kidmusenu. They're similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. Omnam, however, pu'ulasam hibilti bechiris. As opposed to human beings, malachim don't act with bechira. They don't have free choice. Malachim do what they do because they're commanded to do it, and they don't really think about it. Uvazeh lo yidmelohem ha'adam. In that way, human beings are not really like the malachim. Human beings are like the malachim, but they're not like the malachim. They're like the malachim in that they have a deeper understanding of things, they have a deeper recognition of things. They carry out their actions based on intelligence, not just based on instinct. But human beings are different than malachim. Malachim lack free choice, and human beings have free choice. Uviksas yidme ha'adam lokel yisbarach ha'poel bebechira. In some ways, man is actually like HaKadosh Baruch Hu insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has bechira chofshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the free will to do whatever he chooses. Omnam bechira sokel yisbarach ilo olam latov, v'lo ken ha'bechira ha'enoshis. Of course, there's still a major distinction, says the Sfarno, between the free choice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the free choice of human beings. The free choice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu always, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always chooses to do the right thing. In theory, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful. He could have chosen to do something terrible, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu always chooses to do the right thing because that's the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In contrast, as we know, human beings have free choice, but they don't always choose to do the right thing. They sometimes choose to do the wrong thing. V'im zeh hinei ho'elokis al ofen nichbod ma'od yoser min ha'bechira ha'noshis v'lachein omar kid musenu kimod musenu v'lo bid musenu be'emes. The Sfarno calls our attention to an interesting phenomenon in the pasuk. Man is described as being created bit salmenu kidmusenu, in our image, like our likeness. So why is the word bitsalmenu introduced with the beis, which implies an exact similarity to something, whereas the kidmusenu is introduced with the kaf, which implies a degree of similarity, but not absolute similarity? So says the Sfarno, because they're describing two different things. Bit Salmenu discusses the fact that man has a neshama, something which is eternal and something which is intellectual. So in that sense, man actually is, in some ways, like the Ribbono Shel Olam. That aspect of having something eternal, spiritual, and intellectual is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, could be described in those terms as well. And in that limited sense, there's an absolute comparison between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human beings. When it comes, however, to actions, the notion that our actions are driven by free will, and the fact that our actions are driven by intelligence and understanding, and not just by instinct, in that sense, we're similar but not identical to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're similar but not identical to the Malachim, because we're like the Malachim in that we have understanding. We're unlike the Malachim in that we have Bechira. We're like HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have Bechira, but we're unlike HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that we oftentimes misuse that Bechira and choose the wrong thing. So we're similar in terms of our actions to Hashem and Lahavdil the Malachim, but not identical to either of them. Let's go back to the beginning of this Sfarno and try to understand it a little bit better. So Vayomer Elokim, Na'ase Adam. Hashem turns to his Pamalyo Shomala, to his heavenly angels, and he says, let us, the way the Sfarno translates it, invest man. Na'ase Adam. Let's take this man who already exists, who's just like now, like a creature, like an animal, and let's invest in him a neshama, which is something, a certain something which is eternal and intellectual, which is like all of us, and let us give him a degree of bechira chafshis, of free will, and understanding that when he chooses to do actions, he does so out of choice and out of understanding. And in that way, he's similar but not exact to us, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachim. So now we can understand a little bit better why, according to the Svarno, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the Lashon Rabbim, the plural, in saying Na'ase Adam. We're all familiar with the famous Rashi, quoting from Chazal, where Rashi says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu use the plural Na'ase Adam? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nimlach Bebezdino. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to his Malachim and said, Nu, shall we make man? Na'ase Adam. Let me take counsel. Let me be Shoel Eitza from the Malachim as to whether we should make man or not. And obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do whatever he wants. He doesn't need the input of the Malachim, but say Chazal and Rashi quotes it. This is to teach us the incredible humility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's teaching us humility. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he makes this major step of creating man, asks the Malachim their opinion for their input, so too, you know, we should always seek out the input and the advice of others and not just take major decisions upon ourselves, you know, thinking that we know it all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us how to act. The Svarno is saying something similar, but a little bit, one might argue, a little bit more in the pshat of the psukim itself, and that's the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Svarno, is turning to the Malachim, not because he needs their rishus, not because he needs their permission, but he's turning to the Malachim to describe what this end product, what man is going to look like. This end product is going to have, this human being who's being created is going to have certain things that are like Hashem, that lahavdil are like the Malachim, but certain things that are similar but not exactly like either Hashem or the Malachim. So the Malachim are being brought into the discussion as a basis for comparison, as a blueprint, as you were, to help HaKadosh, to help describe what this new creation called the human being is going to be like. It's not as if Hashem needs the input of the Malachim. It's not even as if he's asking for the input of the Malachim. He's simply invoking the Malachim for the Malachim to serve as a pattern, as a blueprint, as to what the completed human being is going to look like. So that's one comment from the Svarno on this Pasuk. The next Pasuk describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates man, and it says, B'Tselem Elokim bara oso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, B'Tselem Elokim. B'Tselem Elokim is usually translated as the image of God. And of course, that gives rise to many of the questions that we had in the last pasuk. What does it mean to say that man is created in the image of God? You know, again, clearly it doesn't mean in a literal sense that man, Cholila, looks like God, or that there's any basis of comparison on that level. But what does it mean to say then, if it doesn't mean the literal thing, what does it mean to say that man is created in the image of God? So the Svarno has a very, very unique way of understanding both the word B'Tselem and the word Elokim. He writes first as follows. Hine milas Elokim outside ha-hidomus te'omer al-kol etzem sichli b'po'al sholem nivdal mechomer uvozehu nitzli behechrach. The Svarno points out that the word Elokim in Tanakh need not be translated simply as God. The word Elokim can be used to describe any complete eternal spiritual entity. Any complete eternal spiritual entity can be described with the word Elokim. And obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one such example, the most obvious such example of a complete spiritual eternal entity that can be described with that, you know, with that term Elokim. But as we know, there are other types of entities that can be described in that way as well. So it goes on the Svarno to say, V'lochein te'omer al-keo yisborach. So the term Elokim can be used to describe Hashem. It can also be used to describe Malachov, the Malachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now just here an insertion which I think is important. I do not believe the Svarno is not saying over here that the Malachim are eternal. the only thing that's really eternal is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So in that sense, you know, it's not an exact comparison. However, the Malachim certainly have a type, a degree of eternity, of long-lastedness, that is different than that of a human being. Human beings are mortal. Their bodies naturally fall apart at a certain point, you know, and, you know, what comes with that is death. We can't speak of Malachim dying in the conventional human sense of the term. We can speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that the Malach will no longer exist because he's not necessary anymore. But in other words, the substance of a Malach is something spiritual and something that fundamentally should be eternal, except that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the Malach to cease to exist. But that's why we find that, you know, that Malachim can be referred to with that word Elohim. Uchemochein te'omer al hashoftim. Similarly, we find that judges can be referred to with the term Elohim. We find that in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. So why is that? So the conventional explanation is, Elohim just means something which is very powerful. Shoftim, Dayanim are very powerful. The Sfarad gives a different pshat. He says the reason that judges are called Elohim is because of Hashem HaChelek HaSichli HaRoi Bohem. The judge himself, the Dayan himself, is a human being. And he's mortal, and he's not, as a human being, he's not really deserving of the term Elohim. However, his Seichel, which if the Dayan uses his Seichel right, his Seichel is being connected to the Torah. He is employing, in the most basic sense of the term, Da'as Torah. The Dayan is connecting to what the Torah wants, the Torah outlook on a particular court case that he's judging. The Torah that the mind of the Dayan connects to, that is eternal. That is spiritual, that is eternal. So when we talk about the Dayanim with the name Elohim, we don't mean the Dayanim as person, as people. The Dayanim as people are mortal like everybody else. But the aspect of the Dayan, which connects to the Torah, that can be described as Elohim. Similarly, they tell a story that somebody once came to the Taz, a woman once came to the Taz and asked the Taz to daven on her behalf. And the Taz was sort of taken aback by the whole thing. He said, you know, who am I? I'm a human being. So the woman said to the Taz, I want the aspect of you that I want to daven on my behalf is the Torah within you. You may be a human being, but the Torah within you is something eternal, something transcendent, something spiritual. The Torah within you should daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam on my behalf. The Taz said, okay, if you're putting it like that, so I accept. That seems to be a very similar idea to what the Sfarno is saying over here. The degree to which the Shoftim, the Dayanim, can be described as Elohim, as being something spiritual and eternal, is because of that connection to Torah which they have, and which hopefully they're going to employ during the course of judging the Din Torah. Omnom, however, biyoski aseichel ha'enoshi afal pishepulas haskolos o bilti shum kli chomri v'sispasher o bilti muchosh v'al ksas asidos v'lo yecholesh b'harboso pu'ulos haskoloso v'lo be'eis ziknas haguf avol yosef chometz umikol eila hisboer shu nivdo bechomer b'li sofek, ki omnom hefech kol eila yikra lakochas haguf hachomrios. Now, says the Sfarno, the human intellect, the neshama, the part of the person that's spiritual and eternal and intellectual, that is something which never weakens and never diminishes, and in fact, with the passage of time, becomes stronger and stronger. Mikol makom kodem sheyisbonen biyosa oz meshulo mikol shleimus asher hu chanlo lo yikare Elohim. However, the neshama, which is implanted within a person, that ability to improve spiritually, intellectually, it's not. It has the potential of becoming perfect, but it's not. The neshama that a person has is not placed in him at its fullest capacity. The Sfarno is a very fascinating idea over here. We know that the neshama, every person has a neshama, every person has the abilities to improve their neshama, But the neshama, like many things, gets better with age and with refinement. You're given a neshama in a very, very basic and coarse kind of fashion. What you do with the neshama can improve the quality of the neshama. The way the Svarno says it is that Yosef Ometz, as the neshama gets older and is well developed, it becomes stronger. It's kind of like a muscle. You know, you have a muscle, you can work the muscle out, and the muscle can become stronger and more well developed. The same is true for the eternal spiritual element, the neshama, which is placed into a human being. It starts off good, but you can make it even better. It only gets called Elohim when it achieves its maximum potential. Before it achieves its maximum potential, Yikare Tselem Elohim Bilavad. The neshama that's placed into us initially is merely a Tselem Elohim. What does Tselem Elohim mean? It means it's a reflection of the perfection that the neshama can ultimately achieve. Rabbi Cooperman, in his notes, suggests that according to the Svarno, the word Tselem is actually related to the word Tsel, which means a shadow. Very, very interesting interpretation. So Tselem Elohim does not mean the image of God at all, according to the Svarno. Tselem Elohim means the neshama, when it's placed into us, is a shadow of the neshama, of the super neshama that it might ultimately develop into. In other words, according to the Svarno, when it says that man was given a Tselem Elohim, it means he was given the potential to create within himself something which is everlasting and spiritual and incredibly powerful. Man doesn't entirely have that at the beginning of his life. He has the potential for that. It's a tzel Elohim. It's a shadow. It's a little bit of a, the image of the Elokus, of the eternity, of the spirituality that he ultimately, Be'ezus Hashem, will be zoche to bring in himself through the course of his life. But at the beginning of his life, Tselem Elohim means that he actually has something which is not fully developed. This is very different than the way Tselem Elohim is usually understood. Tselem Elohim is usually understood as the very pinnacle of spirituality. Man has something which is the image of God. According to the Svarno, Tselem Elohim means he has something which is the beginnings of perfection, the potential for perfection. Man is granted potential, but we have to work that potential, we have to nourish that potential in order to allow it to grow into what will really be something everlasting. If you work on it, says the Svarno, Mizeh yischayev shiya nitzki v'kayim gam acharei misas haguf. That will enable the neshama to be everlasting even after the body dies. But you have to work on it. It may not come so automatically. After, I'm skipping a little bit, but at the very end of his presentation, the Svarno writes, "Es kol eile hora hakel yisparach b'shtei milos b'omro b'tselem Elohim." All of these ideas are put forward in two words in the Chumash, B'Tselem Elohim. Now, let me just go back to something I mentioned Monday night, and then we'll say that briefly, and then Davin Mayriv. In his Hakdama, his introduction, the Svarno had said that one of the reasons he wrote his commentary was because people thought that there's no mention in Chumash of any everlasting reward. The Chumash is all about just you get rewards in this world for the mitzvahs that you do, and there's no mention in Chumash of Olam Haba in any way. The Svarno says that's a mistake. I'm going to show you throughout my commentary how that's a mistake. Here's one of the places where he shows that it's a mistake. Because according to the Svarno, Tselem Elohim means that you're given an neshama, which if you work on it, has the potential for being eternal. Has the potential for being eternal in a very, very profound kind of way. Obviously, that means, if it has the potential for being eternal, that means that there is something out there that's eternal, i.e., Olam Haba. So here's one place where the Sfarno understands that this concept is of Olam Haba, of the Nitzchius, the eternity of the Neshama, is in the Chumash itself. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu,